Why, yes, it is the number one member of the Miley Cyrus and Boys the Men fan club, Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, back with us on a Thursday to talk Jayhawk athletics. How you doing, man?
It's me, my man. I'm doing great. We'll probably add a few more bands and individual pop stars to that list. But yeah, you got me pegged.
Awesome. You know, I was talking to my son the other day, Miller or Noah, and we were talking, and I said, "Do you know who is going to be the entertainment at the Super Bowl this year at halftime?" And there's two people, but I think J Lo might be one of them. But anyway, Shakira, I know, is one of them. Is it J Lo and Shakira? Which is okay with me. But Shakira, always been a big fan of Shakira, and when she was a judge on what was America's The Voice. Always liked Shakira. So I told my son the other day, hey, guess who's going to be the halftime entertainment? Shakira. And his eyes kind of perked up. So I don't know if you're a Shakira fan, but I just want you to know you're not the only music fan out there. I'm a big Shakira fan for more reasons than one.
Oh, baby, can you dance like this? You make a woman go mad. Yeah, big fan.
I knew I'd get something.
I would keep going, but I know there's a soundbite being recorded as you speak. So
yeah.
Just know that, yes. The way she moves and the way she sings, obviously she's got Wade and Brian on the fan club.
Absolutely, no doubt. I'm guessing we're not the only two part of that fan club either. All right, let's change gears here to something, I guess, more important, and that would be sports, and that is the men's basketball team. We'll start there with the hoops team because they're going to play tonight, and we're going to spend most of our time talking about the performance of KU at Texas and looking ahead to their next matchup. But it is hard to believe that we've got an exhibition game tonight, which you can hear on Z96.3 Lake, as KU will take on Fort Hays State in exhibition game tonight. 7 o'clock is the tip. KU's already banged up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise walking into the Sprint Center yesterday and seeing Devon Dotson wearing a walking boot. But good news is, as Coach Self said, it's just a 3 to 4 day deal. Nowadays, whenever somebody suffers a twisted ankle, they put him in a boot, which, you know, 10 years ago you thought that was high ankle sprain, super major stuff. Nowadays it's just an extra precaution they take, you know, to make sure it's stabilized and no additional weight's being put on it. So when you see that, you assume the worst, but now he'll be back at practicing close to full speed, I would think, by Saturday. But you know, Coach said doubtful for tonight, and there really isn't any reason to play him. If anything, it's kind of intriguing because what did we just talk about on last week's episode when you asked about, you know, concerns for the team? Because they've got the deepest front court in the conference, probably the country. They've got clearly, you know, a great point guard in Devon Dotson, who I think could be an All-American. And it looks like three-point shooting is going to improve. That, to me, is the collective area of concern. Mm-hmm. But we said if there was one vulnerability following the transfer of Maggie McBride's backup point guard, where now Marcus Garrett shifts from a wing to a point, and he would be the backup. But when you think backup point guard, you're assuming Devon is healthy and the backup point guard is just playing 7 or 8 minutes a game, not having to start because Devon isn't healthy. So, hey, I'm not glad it happened by any means, but I'm intrigued to see what it'll look like if indeed Garrett brings the ball up tonight. Does Ochai Agbaji have some ball handling responsibilities? Keep in mind, I mean, there really is nobody else on the roster that would normally be a true point guard. Now, Isaac Mackey McBride is out of the program. So that's going to be intriguing to see. But I don't think it's anything we have to sweat in terms of it affecting the Duke game or anything like that. He should be good to go.
All right, that's good to know. So the exhibition opener tonight for KU, we'll get a glimpse at what they're going to do. Mitch Lightfoot, sounds like he possibly could redshirt.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, he was ticketed for a redshirt last year prior to the Silvio De Sousa ruling, you know, extending for a full year prior to Udoka's injury and all that. I mean, he's a guy that loves Kansas, loves being a Jayhawk, is absolutely living the life of a KU basketball player to the fullest, you know. And so if you tell him, hey, you're going to have to take a redshirt on a team that's preseason number 1, 2, or 3, depending on who you listen to, but you get a whole extra year of living here and being a part of this culture. And, you know, we don't know what next season's going to look like. We don't know what the preseason prospects are. But he's a guy that would do that for the sake of the greater good of the team and the program. He's a guy that would do that for the sake of extending his time here and continuing his education and just living it up. You know, he's got his own fan club, man. He's got prison Mitch. So he might have to go behind bars as a redshirt for prison Mitch. But we'll see. I don't think he decided just yet Coach Self keeps mentioning that they're going over that, but I think he's the selfless type of guy that also, in a selfish kind of way, would love to be here an extra 365 days. So it's not like he's one of those guys that's, you know, oh my gosh, I got to get off to the NBA draft type thing. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And if that's the ultimate route they decide to pursue, I don't think he'll bat one eye or be complaining one bit about it.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 738-5701. We'll talk more basketball here certainly in the weeks and months ahead, but now we turn our attention to the football team. And, man, what an exciting game it was. I was listening to you on the broadcast here and there as I was dealing with my children. I could not watch it. I don't have the Longhorn Network, which is unfortunate because that was a really awesome game. I followed along on Twitter as well, a few things that were being updated. And Kansas nearly pulled off the upset at Texas. And, yes, I know Texas has a lot of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But for Kansas to go in there and put up over 500 yards of offense, and for Carter Stanley, Puka Williams, and some really great catches by the receiving core. And this was one of those kind of like Chiefs-Rams game of last year where it was a lot of offense, especially in the fourth quarter, and almost was it came down to, in essence, the team that had the ball last. What a performance by KU. And I'd say the early returns for Coach Dierman as offensive coordinator, I would say A+, right?
Yeah, I joked with Coach Miles last night that if that last kick sails wide right and we win, it's probably a made-for-TV movie, the Brent Dierman story. I mean, could you have scripted anything better than his opening debut other than the actual outcome of the game? Just put it in perspective to the last time we went out on the road. And when we were piling on that plane in Fort Worth after just getting two garbage-time touchdowns, not scoring until midway through the fourth, and not knowing if we'd even have 150 yards for the game, to then 3 weeks later, leaving Austin, almost feeling like we won, you know. And I know the players that were shedding tears over it, knowing that was a big missed opportunity to actually dethrone Texas. They didn't feel like they won. But for those of us around the program that have just been begging for relevancy and competitiveness and all of that, this felt like a win, you know. And so to have a fourth quarter that was so incredible in nature, 26 points for Texas, 24 for Kansas, most points ever against each other in a fourth quarter by two current Power 5 opponents. First time that you'd ever seen two current Power 5 teams have at least 24 against each other in the fourth, and only the fourth time since the NCAA inception in 1937 that that's ever happened for schools anywhere in the fourth. Unreal, man. And that's what we want to see on a given Saturday is compelling action, a chance to win, you know, showing signs of life on both sides of the ball. And ironically, it was special teams that kind of caught Kansas in this thing with two blocked kicks, one of which was a PAT that was returned for a two-point score on the other side after the blocked extra point try. And so, to me, Kansas, 1 week to the next, one road trip to the next, just made leaps and bounds of progress that makes you think any of these last five games could go the way of the Jayhawks, particularly these next two. And I really believe, not to put too much pressure or too much emphasis on two games, but this is the season-defining fortnight of Kansas football. If we finish 2-10, we'll still remember the road trip to Boston College. We'll still remember the fight they put up in Texas. But we'll feel like, we could have done a little bit more. We finish 4-8. If we finish even 3-9, obviously you look at it much differently because Coach Beatty, Coach Weiss, they never won four games in a year here. So that would be a big, big step forward if Kansas could do that. And clearly, with what's in front of them these next 2 weeks, and these next five, really, but these next two being at home against teams that are a little bit more in their wheelhouse, I think Kansas has a great shot. Coach Dierman's obviously got to keep being innovative, and Carter Stanley's got to keep being clutch. And the Kansas defense will have to find a way a little bit more wounded now than they were a week before, as it looks like Jeremiah McCullough will be out this week to overcome the loss of two key veteran starters. And find a next man up mentality that makes you at least competitive on that side. Because, as you just alluded to with your Chiefs Rams comment, I said the same thing on the broadcast on Saturday night that when it was a tie game inside of 5 minutes and Texas was about to score inside the 10, I told David that I'm okay if they score so long as we get to have the ball last. Because I genuinely believe we're going to march down the field, score, go for two, and win the game. Problem is, we left too much time on the clock. Mm-hmm. But when have you ever felt like that in the last 10 years of Kansas football? We haven't felt like that since the Todd Reeking era. And nobody really feels like that unless you're a Patrick Mahomes Kansas City Chiefs fan. I mean, that's the comparison.
Yeah.
Okay, let them score because we're going to go score. Maybe the Patriots feel that way. But other than that, that's a pretty rare feeling. And we were drinking that Kool-Aid on Saturday night. So let's hope more of that is to come. But obviously, it's going to be a tough challenge with the talented Texas Tech team that's lost some close games, could have gone the other way, and clearly has a really good coach in Matt Wells.
Isn't it crazy? You go back, Coastal Carolina game, you would have never said after that game, you know, later this year, we're going to complain a little bit about Kansas leaving too much time on the clock after they score their 47th and 48th point of the night in Austin. And that's why, you know, sports is so great. You think you have it figured out, and just when you think you have it figured out, you don't. We've seen some crazy upsets in college football the last couple of weeks. Illinois beating Wisconsin, Georgia losing at home to South Carolina. Who knows who's going to go down this week? And so I love to see that competitive nature from these teams, these underdogs, and given a chance to pull off an upset. And many times people do tend to cheer for the underdog, and certainly Kansas was the underdog in that game. You know, you mentioned last week about how the more RPOs and the system with Coach Dierman, that they're hoping to get Puka really going. Man, he did against Texas, and then Carter Stanley seems to be much more comfortable in this type of system.
The connection holds up. I was breaking up as you were asking the question. I'm on campus right now, but I don't know why the signal's bad, but it was full systems go. It was a 100% signal for Puka and Carter, that's for sure. Puka, season high, 190 yards, 2 touchdowns. They did creative things to get him the ball on the edge, to get him the ball in one-on-one matchups. And that's something, you go back and listen to the tape for the last 5 weeks when I've come on with you, I've been talking about, man, we got to find a way to do this with Puka. We got to find a way to get him, you know, some opportunities out in the open field to make things happen, make guys miss. And with Carter, and we talked about how this is an offense he's got a lot of familiarity with going back to high school. He just looked comfortable, confident, making the right reads, trusting his receivers. And how underrated is this Kansas receiving core? I mean, Parchment got all the hype in the first month, and understandably so. He was averaging about 90 yards, 2 touchdowns a game. But look at the place Stephon Robinson's making now. Look at that catch Daylon Charlotte made on 4th and 10. With 5.5 minutes to go, one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in a KU football uniform. They kept the game alive and kept their hopes alive. And look at Kwame Lassiter, even. I mean, the numbers maybe aren't eye-popping, but he's your second-leading receiver on Saturday night. And this is a guy that would probably have been 4th or 5th on the depth chart back in September in terms of receiver targets. So all these guys have shown they bring a little bit something different to the mix. And Carter's ability to spread it around, to make the right reads, get the ball out quickly, is showing that this Kansas offense can thrive and beat you in a multitude of ways. And I had a couple of people at Big 12 Basketball Media Day tell me yesterday, one of which we're about to play here in the next couple of weeks, man, Kansas actually has more skill position talent than we do. We'd love to have what you guys have. You know, and I'm thinking, gosh, I haven't heard that in a while. You know, since Dez Briscoe and Kerry Meyer and some of those guys. So That's a nice thing to have, and we've got a facilitator right now in Carter Stanley who's doing a good job getting the ball into the hands of those guys, and now a play caller that allows him to do so in a much more consistent way and efficient way in terms of getting it out fast and getting them in the best possible positions to utilize those gifts that make them separators and game breakers and all that once they've got the ball in their hands.
Homecoming game coming up this weekend, Saturday. You can hear it on Z96.3 Lake with kickoff at 6 o'clock, KU hosting Texas Tech. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you, Brian. I don't know if you saw this story the other day. A St. Louis high school had a kid, a running back, that's been suspended for the first game of the season, and they went ahead and made up an alias and gave him a different number and named him Marvin Burks instead of Bill Jackson. Coach knew about it. He went out, ran for 109 yards. Team won the game. Well, now the team's 7-0, and the school found out that the football team did that. As a result, the football, the president of the school or whatever, the principal, they all decided, listen, we're canceling the rest of the season because of that, and all of the coaches on the staff are immediately released after learning that they cheated and faked a kid into the game when he was supposed to be suspended for one game. So that leads me to the off-the-wall question. What's the worst case of cheating you have ever seen? It could be anything. It could be checkers, from anything from checkers to whatever it may be. What's the worst case of cheating you've ever seen, or maybe you've been guilty of yourself?
first off, that seems a little extreme to me, the resolution of the school. I mean, I'm all for taking it seriously, but penalizing the rest of the kids by canceling the rest of the season.
Yeah,
holy moly,
I know. Not fair to them. Not fair to them.
We've seen this displayed on the American cinematic big screen with the movie Ladybugs and Rodney Dangerfield, where he makes a boy a girl for the sake of winning.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're just kind of following the lead of American pop culture, I guess. In terms of the worst case of shooting I've ever seen, I was playing high school golf back in the day, which is obviously synonymous with guys taking an extra shot or dropping a ball or whatever. But we were in the middle of a tournament, and this guy who was one of the favorites was really struggling. He wasn't playing well. And so he storms off the green while the rest of us are still putting, moves to the next tee box, hits his drive while the rest of us are still picking up our bags from the previous green and walking up to the tee box. Starts motoring down the left side of the fairway while we're preparing to take our next drives, you know, and we're like, what is he doing? He's playing out in front of the group. He goes up, and we can see him 250 yards in the distance hitting his approach shot as we're finishing up our tee shots. He goes up on the green and just sits down behind the green. And we get up there, and we're like, dude, what are you doing? Because if you know anything about competitive golf, whether it's high school or all the way to the Masters, you play in the group together.
Right.
He goes, oh, I hold out for two on my second shot. I'm just waiting on you guys to finish up. And we're like, what? And after that, he played every hole with us the rest of the way. It was just that one hole where we couldn't play with him. And we're all looking at each other like, what in the heck just happened? And sure enough, he carved a two, and we contested it, but there was no way we could prove it because we weren't there to witness it. And so it became kind of big issue amongst the Topeka golf scene. But yeah, that's the worst I've seen.
Wow, that is a wild and weird story. I would have never expected something quite like that, but that does give me an idea when I'm having a friendly wager with my buddy when we play golf. I'm just going to run ahead to the next hole. When he's looking for his lost ball on the previous hole, I'm going to go run to the next hole and if it's a par three, I'm just going to go up, sit behind the green, say, I aced it. How's he going to prove otherwise?
Right.
I like it. That's a great idea, actually. I love it.
Behind the green and said, I hold out.
He could really sold that. It was the most unbelievable shot in the world. It took a ricochet win, and too bad you guys missed it. Well, if you would have hung around and played with us in the group, we would have seen that. Yeah, right. Okay, good stuff. Crazy. Well, this is a busy time of year for you, man. Overlapping season. Basketball tonight, football on Saturday. Have fun with both the calls, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday on Halloween, man.
Thanks, my friend. I look forward to it, and thanks for all you do. We appreciate you greatly.
Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, once again our guest every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701.